You are listening to the OneOfUs.net podcast network. All these years after One Strong, 11 movies later, we've gotten to 12 Strong. I mean, what a fine capper to this giant, long, beloved series of military horse action films.
Exactly. It's Black Ops 2 all over again.
I don't know that reference. So
it's a Call of Duty game, which I will make a lot of Call of Duty references throughout this.
I mean, normally I would call you out on that, but in this particular case, I think that seems fair, although it does seem like maybe Battlefront would be more appropriate for this one.
Probably, but I feel like it's more Call of Duty purely because it's patriotism at its the highest when it comes to movies.
Sure. And, you know, to be fair, this was a pretty amazing accomplishment by a group of soldiers.
It definitely was. And this movie definitely is a great accomplishment at making a patriotic film that I didn't hate.
Yeah, I was strangely much less annoyed by this than I thought I would be, even though
it's got Captain Amerithor.
I mean, Captain Amerithor, seriously, Chris Hemsworth playing the lead here as, like, you know, playing pretty much Chris Hemsworth with an American accent.
Yeah.
Who's playing it with, like, every bit of, like, Chris Hemsworth's worthiness that he can with that smile.
He was worthy to be the captain of the
eyes. Yeah. Yeah. It's like constantly going, oh, he may be, like, have no actual war experience, but we all believe in him. His team believes in him. He's going to be our captain no matter what. And the guy proves himself by showing everyone that he cannot be destroyed by conventional weaponry.
Oh, like there's a part where he gets shot at. And I finally he finally gets hit by something, but I didn't realize it was him because the stuntman that they used for him didn't have a beard.
Mm.
And so I thought it was a completely different character.
Right, right. Yeah, you wouldn't want to watch some of these scenes frame by frame. But that being said, the story here does follow largely Chris Hemsworth's character, Captain Mitch Nelson, based on, and everyone in here is based on real people.
Yes.
They were all stateside, and he was actually getting ready to, like, basically not retire, but move to a desk job.
He was doing a desk job.
And September 11th happened, and he came rushing back in. He's like, no, you fucking, like, he tells his captain, played mysteriously by Rob Riggle, like, you give me my team back, and you put me back in.
I was very frustrated, actually. Like, I'm just going to make my peace with that. I was very frustrated by his decision on that, because it's one of those things where I know people who went to war.
Mm-hmm.
So I was like, any one of them, if they knew that was going to happen, they would have never made that decision. Because it's a very selfish decision when you think about it.
What?
Because he knows full well that, like, he has something that will be, he'll be there for his family kind of thing.
Mm-hmm.
And he just decides to make a decision on his own that he wants to go to war.
Yeah, well, that pretty much happens with all the characters. And they do explore that with each one of their wives.
Yeah.
And how they react, their families react to their decision when they don't have to, and they make the decision they're going to. But in the wake of 9/11, I mean, dude, you're not old enough to really remember what was happening with adults at that point.
Yeah, I was in sixth grade. I actually remember where I was in 9/11.
I knew people who were signing up that hour.
I was in, I was taking a math quiz, and this, the substitute turned the TV off because he didn't want us to see whatever was going on. And I actually didn't – this is kind of weird, but since I lived next to the border, 9/11 itself didn't really hit me until – this is going to sound really, really kind of weird – until I read The Amazing Spider-Man number 36, which is the black cover.
Yeah, yeah.
And at that point, I was like, oh, this is fucked up.
Well, you know, that was the point of doing a comic book of it, give kids a better picture of what was happening.
Yeah,
you know?
And it was very effective. I'm not lying.
But no, I mean, people really did do that. They were like, would not even, I mean, I knew people who signed up in the military without even telling their families that they were doing it. They just went
like,
in
I'm
and
not surprised
it.
By it. It's just that, like, it's not even from a story point. It's just from a personal feeling that, like, I've seen people, yeah, because that happened with World War II. Like, the second, you know,
sure,
Pearl Harbor was bombed, everyone signed up. Hell, it's the whole reason the entirety of the Captain America story happens, kind of thing.
Yeah.
But it's I don't know, like, it was more of a personal thing that made me mad about it. Like, and, you know, more power to anyone who actually did any of that, as well as any member of the armed services, even the ones that I know. Like, I know quite a few of them, actually. Most of the people that I went to high school with actually went straight into the military right afterwards. But I'm, you know, we're getting
a little off topic.
We're getting super out of off topic. Because that was the thing when I watched this movie. I knew, oh my God, I told my roommate, I'm like, there's no way I'm going to not talk about, like, some kind of politics when I talk about this movie. Well, I mean, purely because of the beginning. Because the beginning is, yeah, it's right, it's 9/11, and then he goes in, he tells Rob Riggle he wants to go to war. Michael Shannon backs him up.
But on the whole, this doesn't really involve itself in the politics.
Luckily.
There's almost no, let's go look back and look and see what was happening on the homeland with people. There's like a little brief thing where he sent a snarky message back to Donald Rumsfeld about something. Rumsfeld's like, where the hell are you guys doing? And you're like, and they read out, they show the scene of Rumsfeld actually reading the letter he sent him. But that's not even used for political reasons. That's used
as a kind of a
sweet scene where the family's trying to are listing going, and one of them's like, "Oh, my husband wrote that. I can tell just because that's shit he would say." Anyway,
we got way off base.
Like, "All right, you guys, you're going over there. We're dropping you off in Afghanistan, and we're chasing the Taliban over there. And this is your guys are literally the first dagger thrust. You are the first attack." And we are going to bring you in helicopters and your team higher than anyone has ever flown in a helicopter, 25,000 feet. So it's going to suck because everyone's going to be passing out and puking and shit.
And it was cold, extremely cold.
And we're
going to
drop you off like 40 miles from the main city that the Taliban is like their main headquarters. And you're going to meet up with this Afghani warlord who's very, very, very anti-Taliban. You're going to hook up with this guy. And ? Profit.
Yeah, the best part about when they drop him off, they're like, "So does he speak English?" Like, "No." So you're going to stick around, though? "No, I got to go." And he just fucking leaves.
There's a spook there. CIA guy is like, "Yeah, man, that's not my job. I got to go deal with the other warlords."
And he's like, he speaks Russian, I think, kind of thing. It's like, fuck.
But, you know, like, you've got right off the bat, you know, the trio of Chris Hemsworth, Michael Shannon, and Michael Pena, both, all three incredibly charismatic dudes.
Absolutely.
You know, who are all three. They're proving right in the get-go. They give you just enough to feel like you've gotten to know them from their interactions with their families and with each other. So you're all automatically. Like, I like all three of these guys, and I like their relationship together, which is so important for a men on a mission type of movie.
Absolutely.
Like, and you see right from the beginning, they each have their own specialty. They each have things they're good at, but and as well as with the rest of the team, which I was less familiar with the actors involved. But everybody trusts Chris Hemsworth on that team. They're just like, you tell us what to do and we believe you, which is weird considering they've never actually been to war together, on lots of 2 years of training missions.
It made sense, though, because a lot of those, you know, the thing we're in a time of age where war is like a consistent thing. Mm-hmm. But like there was before at that point, there hadn't been a war for like 10, 12 years kind of thing. So there were people who joined
Grenada was the last major one.
Hmm?
Grenada? Or no,
it was the last. It was the last Iraq war.
The
Gulf War, which was like, what, the 80s, I think?
That was more 90s, wasn't it?
I honestly don't remember too well. But so there was a lot of people.
Obviously, we're experts at American history over here.
Yeah, and so they were there. Yeah, that's what I kind of liked about it. Because there's a point where they're asking him like, "Hey, this is what we want to do," because they interviewed a bunch of different command or captains for the mission, and Chris Hemsworth just outright says, look, if they say that they've done something like this before, they're fucking lying to you. He's like, that's a fact. Like, this is crazy. This is all new. We don't even have winter gear. There's a point where like they're given a bunch of boxes from Cabela's. Like, yeah, this is a bunch of thermals and shit that we order from Cabela's because we didn't expect any of this to happen.
Right.
Thing.
Oh, I mean, they really do a lot to build up Hemsworth as this kind of Wunderkind, you know, who's just like, oh yeah, it doesn't matter. He hasn't been in war before because he's got an old warrior's soul in him.
Yeah.
And this is one of my only issues in the movie when they get into the whole, his relationship with the Afghan warlord character, who's a decent performance by that guy.
Yeah.
There's some really cornball dialogue.
Super cornball dialogue.
Back and forth between the two of them of like what it means to be a warrior and that sort of thing.
I did appreciate though, when they first get there, you have this very tense feeling the entire time.
Oh, yeah, because they don't know they can trust this guy at all.
Like,
and the guy is
being,
like, making weird fucking decisions left and right, you know? And they're like, well, what choice do we have?
The other thing is, when they first get there, there's no subtitles for anybody.
Yeah.
Like, there's only a subtitle for a point when they're talking to the warlord at one point, because, you know, he's speaking Russian, so he understands part of it. And so it's one of those things where you realize, yeah, none of, like, this is how it is for them at that moment. Mm-hmm. They're surrounded by people they don't know. They've never met. They have no reason to trust them. They have no reason to trust them, kind of thing. And at any point, they could probably just turn on you if they wanted to.
Yeah, and that's what they're thinking. They don't know. And they've been told, prepare for anything. We don't know this guy. I mean, we know he's been fighting the Taliban since he was 16. He definitely hates them. Unfortunately, we think he just as much hates the other Afghan warlords who we're separately trying to get to team up against the Taliban as well. So if it came to a situation where he could shoot at them or at the Taliban, we have no fucking clue what this guy's
doing. It's very that tenseness doesn't go away for a long time either.
Yeah, agreed. And they gradually definitely give you a sense overall of these guys who they've definitely put it as almost ridiculously nice dudes, all the soldiers, you know.
Yeah.
And like every and soldier, not to mention superhumanly competent.
Oh my god, yeah, they don't miss like any shots.
Yeah, apparently the Taliban are the stormtroopers from Star Wars.
Yeah, they're like impossible to shoot apparently. Yeah, except for like one dude who gets shot at one point.
Yeah,
and then another guy, I don't know, like, but there's another thing that there's one other sequence that I really appreciated that was corny, but I appreciate it at the same time, which is, yeah, we kept mentioning that Chris Hemsworth hadn't been in battle, but there were people in his crew that had been. And so the warlord sees it, and he's like, yeah, you don't have the eyes of a killer because you haven't done anything.
It's like this
that.
Guy's got the eyes of a killer. Like, that,
like, yeah,
guy's
that guy has it. That guy has it.
You
this
don't.
Guy had it. I read it in a Green Arrow comic that guy had it kind of thing. Like, yeah. like I really appreciated that sequence, especially after stuff starts happening. He's like, yeah, see that now? Now you have the eyes of killer.
Yeah, and he does, and that's it. Yeah. He's like, fuck, dude.
He's like covered in dirt, and he's like, looks angry, and it's just like, oh, fuck, he's gonna call down Mjolnir and take out some motherfuckers.
Which, you know, honestly, if this movie had decided to, about the beginning of the third act, have him suddenly reveal that he was secretly Thor, I would not have been that surprised, because he really is, like, so good at everything that he does and just cannot be harmed.
Yeah,
and
like,
he's just, like, the most mega badass ever. And, to be fair, like, at least in terms of survival numbers, this movie is accurate. I have no degree, no idea how accurate it is in terms of the actual, like, masses they were fighting against, because when you watch these scenes, which I'll say is the strongest point of this film,
absolutely,
the action scenes are exceptionally well shot.
Oh, they're so good.
And they're really cool and really scary and just like, wow, this is like, yummy, you're really with this. And I didn't know how many of these guys were going to make it out of this film. So I'm like, anybody could die at any point here.
Yeah,
I
kept waiting for certain people to die. Like, there are certain people that I'm like, that guy's going to die. I just know he's going to die.
Yeah, it seems like in, like, other types of movies we've seen before, that's the guy who would die.
Yeah, you know, and you're just like, yeah, that dude's totally dead. He went away from the other dudes. He's dead. He's gone. He's going to be captured, tortured.
Defies
I don't know what's
expectations
happening.
In that sense. But those action scenes, I mean, and you have to suspend your disbelief, because there's like, it's like the, you know, it gets up very 300, you know, you're just like, okay, they're marching, they're riding, because the whole thing is they were horse soldiers, they're forced to ride horses, none of them knew how to ride horses, so they're riding in the middle of fucking tanks and infantry, riding horses with machine guns, and you're like, what the fuck, dude?
Yeah, they're
That's
all
like, how are you planning to live through this?
Yeah, they're all getting like headshots left and right, which is one of the reasons I felt like it was like a Call of Duty game, because it felt like, like, they were having aim assists, because he would drop his gun and point, and then it would immediately, like, turn to the guy to the left of him.
Yeah.
Like, this is some aimbot shit going on over
here.
Yeah,
no, they were all, like, perfect shots. Like,
yeah.
Every single, like, short burst killed somebody, and the other guys weren't hitting anything.
Yeah, and everyone around them is just
like,
dying left and right.
Like, man, these guys can't hit the broadside of a barn, and there's barns all over the fucking place.
Yeah. Yeah, like, everyone, like, left and right of them are dying. It's like, bullets were just, like, flying over kind of thing at one point. Like, the only, like, certain people eventually get shot kind of thing, but it takes a long time for that to happen.
Yeah, and even then.
Yeah, and even then, it's like, oh, it's like, well, are you okay?
It's
a quiet. I scraped my knee real quick.
It's a flesh wound. It's all right.
Like, the one guy who gets hit the worst, it's like, well, that wasn't even him getting shot.
Yeah. Now, there's a couple other people, like, that are recognizable in here. Like, William Fichtner plays a really unnecessary extra character they bring in as a colonel, where I'm like, oh, we're both agreeing why they didn't just make Rob Riggle, who we've already established as a commanding officer or colonel, why they didn't just give him this job.
Yeah, like,
and brought
Rob
in
Riggle,
Fichtner, who had nothing to do except look like he's sick.
Yeah, I thought,
his head.
Fichtner looked really creepy without the hair.
Yeah.
And he still has that same sort of, like, I've never gotten to sleep eyes.
Yeah.
And so it just made him look like a cancer patient. And I was like, oh, is this a Make-A-Wish thing going on right now?
And you had Trevante Rhodes from Moonlight playing one of the other soldiers.
True,
as well,
yeah.
And who was quite good in this, but not Ruggle, given as much good stuff as the other, the three primaries, of course.
I think he's given the best out of everyone else, though, kind of thing.
Yeah,
like, there's a lot of other soldiers that you're just like, I don't remember his name. I don't remember that guy's name. Like, I knew that guy because he went to this guy kind of thing.
Yeah.
But,
for some reason, Taylor Sheridan is in this. I didn't even know. Somebody named Brian. He's the guy who's famous for writing Hell or High Water and Sicario. Oh,
that's interesting.
Yeah. Anyway, but Sayid Tagamoui, who is a very famous French-American actor who first got known for playing Captain Saeed, the guy who tortured Mark Wahlberg in Three Kings, but then he was Samir in Wonder Woman. He's been in a bunch of stuff. He plays like the main mustache-twirling villain who doesn't get a single understandable line of dialogue and gets a real wah-wah type of death. And you're like, I recognize that guy anywhere. And he's got such a big beard and everything, and the turban, I didn't recognize him at all.
I have expected Iron Man to show up in the middle of one of those sequences. Right.
It just got kind of silly, the stuff they were doing with him, because he was just so like,
That's why, it really felt more like a Call of Duty game to me, because Call of Duty has those cartoony villains kind of thing, and it felt exactly like that. It felt like you should hate this guy, because he kills people. I'm like, so does, like, the rest of those people, though. So,
I mean, we all agree the Taliban, they're bad, and their leaders are bad, but this guy was just so, I mean, he just looked so like a cartoon Taliban, like Middle Eastern villain. I was like, okay.
Yeah, he was the ultimate stereotype Taliban guy, and you're just like, oh, well, that's, I hate him, I guess.
I mean, this is a very broad film, and for a film that's painting it in such broad strokes, it's surprisingly entertaining regardless. There's a lot of things to criticize, but I can't say I didn't have fun watching it.
That's the thing, yeah. Every time an action sequence happened, I was like, this is exciting.
Yeah.
Like, I'm not annoyed by anything here. Like, sure, it's still trying to go America fuck yeah here and there.
Sure.
But even then, you're like, you kind of get with those little sequences.
I mean, part of it is the soldiers are really good together on camera. They give them a lot of, well-written and well-performed camamaraderie.
The people who you don't really, they don't show too much, even they're still have great, like, chemistry with each other.
I mean,
like, you feel like these guys have known each other for years.
You do get that sensation for real. And that's what you get when you get actors as good as this working together. So going to final thoughts, what do you think?
Overall, I actually had a lot of fun with this movie. I came into this movie with very low expectations because I saw a trailer for this before I watched Father Figures. I'm like, man, that looks like some patriotic bullshit. But as it went on, like, I was like, man, this movie is selling me on every little action sequence, on every little interaction with characters among the soldiers as well as with the warlord. Rob Riggle's really good because the man was a Marine at one point, and it shows that he still has that disciplined side of him, even though he loves comedy more kind of thing, which is why I kind of wish he was the main captain instead of Fichtner.
Because even in those scenes, he's standing next to him the whole time. And
yeah.
Like, why is Fichtner even here?
Exactly. It's like, well, what's the point? It's like, okay. But then Fichtner, he shows up here and there to make a decision here and there. But you're just like, I think you're going to die at any moment kind of thing. But overall, yeah, like every time something exciting happened, you're just with it. You're just like, yeah, just kick those dudes' asses kind of thing. And yeah, there's a lot of real tense moments in this movie. Like, there was a sequence that I was like, I knew that was going to happen, but it still fucking got me, kind of thing. And there's stuff like that. And by the time it was over, I found, like I hate to be, like, hate to say it, or not hate to say it, but, like, it was effective in its patriotism feeling that you get at the end of it, kind of thing. Whereas, like, when I watched that movie where they're like, we have real Marines doing this, I was like, oh, that was just really dull. I don't remember the name of that one, but that was one of those ones that I was like, well, that just felt kind of pointless. But this one, I was like, you know what, I felt like a story that needed to be told. These were the first people that went into battle right after 9/11, and that was the most important job of, like, anybody during that time frame. And I'm glad that they got a movie out of it, and a damn good one.
The only surprising thing is that it took so long to tell the story.
Well, the movie outright tells you this shit was confidential
until
2012.
Until just recently,
and it took them, like, what, 30 years to make another Blade Runner?
Yeah,
kind of thing. So it's just like, yeah, there's, like, movies don't only move at a certain pace. But yeah, the fact that they even got this not only off the ground, but they've got this off the ground with a good cast, a cast that works great with each other. And whoever does the action choreography in this, goddamn, I appreciate you a lot. Like, there wasn't anything score-wise or anything that was that you could talk about when it comes to it. But overall, for a January film that was about being patriotic, I actually really, really enjoyed it. I think other people would too. And if you're you know, one of those guys that's, you know, one of those people that's just like, I love America, you know, I support my soldiers, your troops, you're going to fucking love this movie. And even if you're not one of those guys, I think you'll at least enjoy it. I honestly would have to give it 8 out of 10 times I got confused when he was called Captain, because I kept thinking he was Thor.
Or Captain America.
Captain America, yeah, Thor, though. That was my favorite thing I came up with during the screening.
Yeah, I mean, you know, I feel like as much as I did end up enjoying this, and I certainly went into it like, here we go, it's another fucking, as I call them, frag waiver.
Yeah.
Which is like patriotic film with tons of killing. Frag, because they're fragging everybody.
Yeah. That is what it is. Yeah.
I gave myself over to it rather quickly and was like, wow, this isn't so bad at all. All that being said, when I got to the end, I was like, you know, I'm feeling this is a movie that if I watched again, I wouldn't enjoy as much just because there would be nowhere near as much tension for me. Yeah. A large part of what's enjoyable is like, it's a big team of people that you largely like, most of them, and, you know, or know enough about them to go like, oh, I like that character. And you're like, okay, so who's going to not make it? One of those things. And when you already know ahead of time, it's just taking away all that tension is definitely going to lose something from what this movie has to sell. Because I think it is a slight film in some ways, but it is a very inspiring story for sure. Pretty amazing that this mission was pulled off at all. And like I said, solid performances. First time feature director, believe it or not.
Amazing.
Although the writers were like, one of the two writers has got this huge list of credits, including like Silence of the Lambs and Red Dragon. And
that's
shit.
Kind of surprising.
Yeah. But I like this overall quite a bit. I definitely see why it was more of a January, February type release. Cause like, where do you fit this in the schedule?
True.
But, I give it 7.5 out of 10 billion shells flying.
I'm expecting so many angry comments at me though.
Why?
Cause like, it sounded like I was unpatriotic at the beginning. Kind of
thing. You're waving your frag.
I do play a lot of games. No, it's like, yeah, this movie's great, and I honestly think people should see it, though.
Yeah, and go America?
Go America, yeah. America, sure. Fuck yeah.
That's something.
And go watch Thor.
Go watch
Ragnarok, because it's really good, too.
Patriotic. Go Asgard!